So anyway, some of you know we had our 10th annual, my nonprofit organization, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, and we were rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And so we've been around 29 years. We will be celebrating the 30-year anniversary next year, if the Lord is willing, and the creek don't rise. But we had our 10th annual men's conference, and we always do it on Father's Day weekend, the Saturday before Father's Day. And it was mind-blowing this weekend. Everybody and their daddy came from around the world. And so, again, I thank everybody for coming. I thank the volunteers, the males and the females. It was really, really amazing. All right? And so, yesterday, a number of the guys came to church to have a church service. And at the service, I met Andrew. And Andrew attended the conference with a friend of his, Woods. And I've known Woods for a while. I've counseled with him. I've, you know, talked to him. He's been to a couple of our meetings before. But I had not met you before, right, Andrew?
We met briefly at the conference.
Other than the conference, I had not met you before.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show today. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You were telling me that you came from the hotel right there by the airport, right, mm-hmm. to here, to the studio.
That's right.
And how difficult was it with the traffic?
It took like probably 20 minutes to go like a mile and a half, something like that. Just constant stop and go. Everybody loves to just blow through the green light. And then as soon as you get to the other intersection, it's backed up. So everybody's just sitting there in the next intersection, backing it up, you know, it's like nonstop, just never ends.
So Andrew asked me, is that normal here in LA to be having, are you guys used to that? Are the guests used to having to deal with
right,
that kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's just coming in late all the time. I can't imagine.
So thank you for coming to the conference.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was talking to Andrew yesterday, right after the church, we were chatting, talking, because men don't chat, talking, and he was telling me about how he learned about Bond and a little bit about his life, and I thought, wow, this is so amazing. And I asked Andrew, would he come on the show and talk to me about some of these things, so you can see, folks, that you can overcome anything, all right? It's totally possible. So, Andrew, tell us about how you found out about Bond, found out about the conference.
Okay, so I have my buddy Woods. He's originally from Seattle, and I met him on our deployment. We were both in the infantry. I met him on our deployment. We ended up becoming roommates during the rest of our stint in the infantry. And when we both got out, he ended up convincing me to move out to Seattle. So we were out there, and he just texted me. He's like, "Hey man, I'm donating my Crown Vic to my pasture. Can you help me drive it down to LA?"
Yeah.
He told me that probably like a week ago, and I just called off work. I was, you know, I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I can, you know, just take a break like that and
right.
not have any real consequences. So, yeah, and I didn't know about you or what was really going on until we were like pretty much at the Reagan Monument.
So you had not, prior to that, you had not heard about Jesse Peterson
no.
or the YouTube channel or anything?
No, sir.
Okay.
So he was like, "Yeah, this is the guy we're donating it to. We're going to this men's conference when we get into LA, like pretty much right away." And yeah, he showed me some of your podcasts. And
what was your first impression of the podcast?
You have a way of making smart people look dumb.
Yeah. Smart people look dumb.
Yes.
What
yes,
do you
sir.
Mean?
The way that, like, you're questioning, one of the podcasts that he showed me was you talking to an MIT graduate, and you, like, stumped him on whether or not he had anger.
All right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just you know, simple things like that. He just stumps people.
Right on, man. Yeah. Because God, when he's working through us, mm-hmm. we're smarter than the people, than Satan who's working through the others.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right.
And so where are you from originally before you moved up to Seattle?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, okay. How old are you?
I'm 26, sir.
Amazing. And so you were in the military?
Yes, sir.
What branch?
I was in the Army.
Army. And one thing that really got my attention. Oh, let me first ask, how did you like the conference?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. Everybody's incredibly polite and nice and very open.
Yeah.
Very open.
Very open, huh?
Yeah, very open.
And it was amazing to see men from around the world as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was something else.
Yeah, there were people there from Britain. I think
Scotland.
Scotland, yeah.
Just all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you surprised about, because you had not gone to any of these things before. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised by it?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I met a couple of them. You know, they have that parking garage. And so I had been going up and down trying to get stuff out of the car. And I just kept running into people that were going down to your convention. And like, I would, you know, just walk. I'm not used to people just saying hi when you walk back. Like,
That's
not a thing in Baltimore. And it's not a thing in Seattle.
Yeah.
People are very, like, you know, have their shield up.
Yes.
You know, and so when you, so like just walking to the garage, everybody just being like, hey, how's it going? Are you going to the convention or the conference? I'm like, yeah, how'd you know? You know what I mean? Like,
I have never seen that many men at a conference before.
Right.
A serious conference.
Yeah. You know? I had never been to anything like that before.
Yeah.
I mean, I had been to like maybe a seminar or something like that.
Right.
Something completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So one thing that got my attention for, in talking to you yesterday after the church service, and by the way, thanks for coming up and introducing yourself to.
Oh, yeah,
to.
Of course.
Tell the folks what you have gone through in the military, what happened to you.
Yeah, so I guess, I forget, I don't know, I guess it was about two years into my contract or my enlistment. I was getting ready to go to Ranger School, and right before then I got thrown on a training exercise, and I ended up, you know, falling out of a helicopter pretty much. And they're called burst fractures. It's pretty much just a shattered vertebrae. So I had broke seven vertebrae in my lower back. I split my pelvis in half, and so I have a brace in there now, keeping it together. And then I crushed my heels. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So
how old were you at the time when that happened?
24. I think I turned 24 like a week later.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
So when it happened, you were 23,
yeah.
And you turned 24 a week later.
Yes, sir.
And so you fell from a what?
From a helicopter. I fell from a Black Hawk at night during a training exercise. Fell 40 feet in full kit. And, yeah, I guess... I don't know if it's a good thing I landed on my feet, but...
Oh, you landed on your feet, and it broke
like
all those bones.
Yeah. Yeah, crushed my heels. I guess I landed in a squat. It's actually a miracle that I don't have any knee issues, no knee issues,
right.
No joint issues, really, for the most part.
And so you landed flat on your feet?
Flat on my feet.
And it crushed the bones of your feet?
Crushed the bones of my feet. I guess all the pressure from landing that squat is what made my pelvis, the bottom of my pelvis, break open like that.
Whoa.
Right? And then I guess I landed on my tailbone, and then that pressure is what, you know, shattered the vertebrae.
How did you manage to fall out of a Black Hawk?
It was just a dangerous job, and, you know, just got caught up messing up.
And so while you were falling at 23 years old, what were you thinking while you were falling before you hit the ground?
You know when you're stumbling down the stairs at night and it's dark out and you miss a step?
Yeah.
And you feel your stomach go up? Yeah, it was that, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
And while you were falling, during the fall itself, did you think you were going to die?
I didn't have enough time to think about anything.
How long did it last?
What, the pain or the fall?
The fall.
Oh, I mean, it felt like forever.
Oh, yeah?
It felt like forever, yeah. And then I just remember just smacking the ground. And, like, you know, when you stub a toe, you know, like Family Guy, and you go like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much that, but just like a full lung, you know, of air just screaming at the top of your lungs. And then, you know, I remember, like, sitting down on my back, looking up and just seeing just getting beaten by air from the helicopter, just sitting up there. You know what I mean? I just had to wait for everybody to, you know, settle back down and finally do something. The worst part of the whole thing was being put on the spine board because, you know, like I said, I had seven crushed vertebrae and everything, and you're on your back, and they have to lift your body up, like turn your body over to put the spine board underneath and then put you back on top of that. So when they're doing that, you know, they're trying to keep you as straight as you can, as they can, but they're still twisting your back and everything. So all those crushed vertebrae in my lower back, I could just feel them just... You know,
wow.
And, And then I ended up waking up. This was in Tennessee or in Kentucky. Fort Campbell, where the 101st is, okay. Right on the Tennessee-Kentucky border.
Right.
So I was lucky. They took me to the Army hospital, but they weren't capable of doing any spine or surgeries or anything like that. So they sent me to Vanderbilt. So I flew into Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt's a great hospital.
Yeah.
They did a great job. They took care of me. It was great.
How long did it take you to heal?
My accident was August 31st. I was bedridden for like 3 weeks, couldn't do anything. And then after all my surgeries, I was in a wheelchair for about 5 months.
Are you healed now? Everything back to normal?
For the most part. I'm never going to be 100%, you know, but yeah, I mean, I'm walking around. I don't really have much of, a limp or anything like that.
Right.
Certain things bother me. Like I can't just run 3 miles like I used to or anything like that. I can sprint, but nothing crazy.
And that's amazing, man. You don't look like you've been through anything.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's just I'm a grinder. That's what I have to offer. Yeah. I can just put my head down and just, grind away.
What does that mean?
Grinding?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just, for everything that I do, like, I'm not smart. For me to study or, keep up, I have to put in twice the amount of time or effort that other people do.
Yes.
And I'm used to that. That's how my whole life has been. Every time I played a sport, I've always been, the smaller guy on the team who's trying to keep up with these bigger, stronger guys. That's just how my life has always been. So I'm just used to it at this point.
That's right. Yeah. Amazing. So like you're healed now, or is it still healing?
I'm healed. I think I'm as healed as I'll ever get or ever be.
So all your bones are back together again?
Yes, sir.
The back is fine and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, my back, I very rarely have issues with it. It's if I do something stupid, like if I go to pick something up and I twist and I just treat it, wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing, man. Yeah. And so once that happened, you had to retire from the military, right?
Yeah, I got medically retired. They gave me the option to stay in because I healed so well, and I was able to go back to the infantry, or I had the option to. I didn't because I'd be the weakest link.
Right.
I don't feel like that's a job where you can let your pride just say like, oh, I'm going to go back because I can. It's like you could get people killed.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Do anything and I don't know. I feel like physically I probably could have done it, but I don't know for how long.
Right.
And what it would have done to my body if I would have gone back. Wouldn't have been worth it.
And so how long had you been in the military before this happened?
Before that happened, I think 3 years.
3 years?
Three years, not long.
Amazing, man. Were you post-traumatic stress thing? Did you go through that?
Not because of, war or anything, but I definitely had a lot of trauma from the actual accident. And most of it was just me beating myself up about it, like, God, you're stupid. How could you have done that? Like you're a good soldier. Like you knew what you were doing. I think that most accidents in life happen when you're comfortable doing something. It's something you've done hundreds of times.
And you had done that jump before.
Oh, I'd done it hundreds of times.
Oh, okay.
I'd done what we were training. I'd done it hundreds of times. We all had.
Yeah.
It's when you're comfortable doing something and then you start skipping steps because you're so comfortable and confident in it. That's when a mistake happens.
And that's what you did.
Yeah.
Oh.
Essentially.
And so you, at one point, you were post-traumatic. What do you call it?
I think they call it post-traumatic stress disorder. I wouldn't say I ever really had that. I had a lot of trauma from just that experience. And I never really I have issues from this. But, I spent most of my life training to get to the point of where I was physically and mentally. And, I sacrificed so much to be in the position I was in. And then just like that, it's taken away from me. And your biggest asset one of your biggest assets as a man, let alone an infantryman, is your body and your health, I lost that in that accident.
And what year did this happen in?
2016.
Oh, okay. If you were able to, would you go back to the military?
Yeah, I miss it every day. I wish I could go back.
Really?
Yeah.
What made you decide to go into the military? How old were you when you joined?
When I joined, I was 20, 21.
And what made you decide to join the military?
The camaraderie and the whole aspect of being part of a brotherhood and just knowing that it was going to suck, you know, and going through that with other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And so you would go back if you could?
In a heartbeat.
And why would you go back?
Because I know the type of relationships you can build and just the experiences that you have. I mean, I have dear friends that I've known since kindergarten, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we still keep up and everything, but I've known them for, let's just say, 20 years. They're guys that I know in the Army that I spent 2 years with, you know what I mean? And I'd say that I'm probably closer to them just because of the experiences we went through. Like Woods, I met him on our deployment. You know, that guy's my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, he could say, you know, hey, I need help with anything. And, you know, I risk my job security to do it, to help him.
Amazing.
You know? Yeah,
right,
that's just
on
the type of friendships that you build in the Army and the infantry.
I've talked to Woods several times. I met him here. He seemed to be that kind of a person.
Yeah.
I feel like he's my son or something, mm-hmm. you know? Like he's my little brother. I feel close to him.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys like
and
that.
And I have not been in the military. It's just there's something about him mm-hmm. that, you know, you just feel close to him.
Yeah, yeah. Most guys in the infantry are loving and, you know, respectful and, I don't know, sometimes you have guys that are like, you know, pump out their chest and act more masculine than they really are. You know what I mean? And I don't know. And that's,
faking it.
Yeah, and that type of environment where you're in the infantry, like you kind of just let go of your ego and, you know, it's like kind of, what's the saying, like real recognizes real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so how has life been for you since being out of the military? What's this been like? What's this been for you?
It's great now. When I first got out, so right after my accident, I was depressed for a while because it was like an identity issue, right?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do now? What should I do? What's right? And where do I fit in society now? Not just as getting out of the Army, but just being broken. You know what I mean? And so when I first got out, I went home for like a month, and I bought a car, and then I just drove out to Seattle. Woods actually flew out to Chicago and helped me with the rest of the drive. And so I got to Seattle, and have you been to Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the polar opposite on the spectrum from being in the infantry in Kentucky-Tennessee border to going to like the most progressive city in America. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, yeah, I definitely don't fit in here. you know what I mean? Like people are like, oh, you're in the Army. Like, oh, you're square. You know, I don't know.
I know. It's like going into insanity up there.
Yeah, so I definitely did not fit in. And I just didn't want to go there and leave without getting something out of it. So I just stayed there. And, you know, I'm still living there. But after like 5 months of being there, I just like kind of hit rock bottom. Like psychologically, I was just like, what am I doing here? Like, this is a huge mistake. I'm just, all my money is just getting just blown because of, you know, the cost of living is so outrageous. I get 80% VA disability. And that's like, I think it's like $1,300 a month. That's my rent.
Wow.
Yeah, so like my
especially
rent.
There.
Yeah. That's my rent. And so it's like I have just enough money or security, a buffer for my rent, and then everything else, you know, is just it's just on me.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm fine with that. I can scrounge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't I'll be fine, you know, but it was like just bleeding out money like that and not being happy, not having a social group. You know, in the Army, you're forced to make friends.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You have your team. You guys are going to be best friends. You don't have a choice.
Right.
You know, when you move out to the civilian sector or life or whatever, you know, you don't have that.
Yeah.
And that was definitely something that I struggled with. And, but yeah, and then, I went home. I went home when I was, you know, depressed or down or whatever. And I spent about a month there. And then I thought of you because of this. Well, yesterday, that's one of the reasons why I came up. I ended up having this discussion with both my parents, separate occasions. And I don't know what really sparked it, but I just kind of started, talking about just life and everything, and then kind of just forgave them. really forgave him. You know what I mean by that, right? Yeah, and my mother took it terribly. She took it terribly. And I to be fair, I when we were talking about this, we were like in a restaurant bar kind of thing, like sitting at a high top, you know. And she just started crying in front of everybody. And I don't handle that well. I'm standing there like, oh, mom, please, like, just stop. And she's freaking out. But, you know, we came to terms with everything. And both my relationships with my mother and my father have been great ever since.
Right on.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that kind of helped me out a lot.
Right on. Why did your mother take it so hard? All you were doing, you were forgiving her. You're like, okay, yeah. I'm not going to hate you anymore.
I think it was that she didn't know, you know, for all these years. And I don't think that she can really accept it. I mean, I have I'm the youngest of quite a few siblings. I have both my parents were married once before they married each other, and they both had kids. So I have two older brothers on my father's side, an older brother on my mother's side. And then when they got married, they both had four, including me, daughter and three sons. A lot of white babies. But the oldest one, my father is 85.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a product of a 59-year-old man and a 43-year-old woman.
Right on.
Yeah, my point is that they're all spread across the country. And she has a lot of issues with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wants them around her.
Yeah. My sister moved up to Victoria, British Columbia, like as far away as you can get. Get away from mom. My brother is, he just got out of SF and now he just got into Harvard Business School. And so he's just all over the place. My other brother moved down to Austin. You know what I mean? So she just doesn't realize that, you know, something's happened where everybody's just spread out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like a direct correlation to her.
It is. I'm surprised I'm surprised that she hasn't followed them around because the mothers, women like to control so much. They'll follow you wherever you move to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She talks about it all the time, you know, oh, we're going to move out to Seattle or something. I'm like, don't, because then I'm just going to move back to, you know, I'll move to Tennessee or Nashville or something. I mean, I love her with all my heart. I really do.
I understand that, but make sure you let her know, don't move out here. Yeah. I don't want you here. If you do, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Are you dating now?
I'm not dating. I don't actually have a girlfriend. I get out a lot. And I have good relationships with women.
Meaning that you're having sex with them?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, we gotta get
a lot of things. I'm not a liar.
And so, are you over the post-traumatic stress thing, or do you still get sad and lonely and all that stuff?
Not really. And that's something that kind of happened the past few months, where I kind of broke out of my shell.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're in a slump, you don't know it until you've hit rock bottom. And you're just like, God, I am so unhappy. Like what is going on? And then you actually reflect on the past, you know, however, like 6 months or a year.
Yes.
And then that's when you realize, you know what I mean?
That's right, man. Yeah. What is rock bottom for you?
Rock bottom is just...
You say you hit rock bottom.
Yeah, for just not finding happiness in anything, not wanting to do anything. I mean, I was playing video games, like chronically masturbating, you know, not building any friendships. You know what I mean? I was just sitting there in my own little dungeon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like the unhealthiest thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like the stereotypical, like, I'm out in Seattle and it's raining outside. I'm just going to be in my cave and not do anything.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then
Well, I'm glad you've overcome that.
Yeah. Yeah. So am I.
Are you over all of your anger now?
Yeah.
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 You don't get angry at yourself or the fall or anything anymore?
No. No, I don't know.
Oh, good, man. Good. And so how's life for you right now?
Great.
Great.
Great. Yeah, really? I thank God every day. And I didn't even know how angry I was until I like got out of that slump. You know what I mean? Where I was just like, I was just mad at God. And really, I should have just been grateful. I don't know. I believe in a God. I don't know if I believe in Catholicism or what.
Right.
You know, I do believe that there's something. And instead of when my accident happened, instead of me thanking God that I'm alive and that I have the few issues that I do comparably,
yes.
I was sitting there mad, like, why did that happen to me? Like, why did my career get ruined? You know, everything was going so well. You know, I just looked at all the negative instead of just being like, oh, I'm alive. Like, I don't have knee issues.
That's right, man.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I should be thanking God every day. And I feel selfish and stupid for having done anything.
Blaming God at first.
Yeah, right.
Amazing. Yeah. And did you blame yourself, too?
I do blame myself, yeah. That was my fault.
For not being aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For just not doing what I should have been doing.
How long, do you remember how long you stood there once you hit the ground before the rescue came?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was like 5 or 10 minutes.
Did you go unconscious at any point?
No, not that I know of.
And so while standing there and all, was it like really painful or it just felt like,
like
a mistake had happened?
It was very painful. I remember screaming for, it seemed like forever. And then by the time everybody got, like, actually came down and figured out what had happened,
yeah.
By that time, they actually told, like, a story about how they all thought I was dead because I was just sitting there, like, not moving or talking. And then they came up, and I was just like, hey, guys, like, somebody please help me. Like, everybody's just standing over me, like, what should we do? You know, but...
that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point where, like, well, in that situation, like, you can't do anything. Like, I knew I broke my back. Like, that wasn't... There was no mistake there. And then it's like the worst thing you can do is try to get up on your feet. Thank God I didn't, seeing that I had crushed heels, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, if you break your back and... Like, have you ever seen videos or whatever, people in terrible car accidents?
Yes.
And bystanders are sitting there pulling them out of the car?
Right.
That's the very last thing you want to do.
Because of the bones being
broken. Yeah, because if they have a broken neck or a broken back and they're in shock, they don't know.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there jolting their body around and messing with stuff.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? Like, unless the car's on fire, like there's gas leaking or something like that, you leave them.
You leave them there.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so anything you disagree with me about, you just follow me and just kind of start listening.
Yeah, I don't honestly know enough about you to really answer, but most of the things that I agree with most of the things you say. I think the shaving thing is pretty funny. I don't shave. I come from a family of naked mole rats, though. So, like, if I don't shave this, it just looks so bad.
Should shave your face if you want to.
Yeah, but like, I don't shave my chest. I don't shave, you know.
Yeah,
I don't shave my butt.
What do you think about men who shave like women?
Who shave like, I just don't understand.
They be shaving their legs and
I don't understand
body parts and all that.
I don't understand it. The people that I do know who do that are womanizers. You know, guys, you know,
so
like
they
studs.
Become like a woman.
And so they just know that, like, at least the women that they go for like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know, I feel like for the most part, women like hairy men.
They do.
But I don't know about, like, a hairy back, you know what I mean? Hairy, like, shoulders, stuff like that.
Yeah, they like everything. Women like everything about a real man.
Yeah.
It's just that if they can control you and recreate you in their image, they would do it if you let them do it.
Yeah, that's funny. When you were talking about that the other day, I thought of my mother because I remember whenever she'd see, like, a man with, like, a beard, like a masculine beard, she'd be like, oh, that's disgusting. You know, she'd be like, oh, I like clean-shaven men. You know what I mean? I was sitting there just like, oh, man, like, all these things that I'm just now realizing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing, man. So let me just ask you about the sex thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better to wait until marriage to have sex, or is it okay to be having it out of wedlock?
I don't know. I think it can be unhealthy for, especially if you don't get married young, right? Like, if you don't get married until you're 30,
right,
and not having sex until you're 30, I think that's very unhealthy.
Unhealthy?
I think that's unhealthy for your psyche.
In what way?
I think that when you're in your sexual prime, you know, after you hit puberty in your mid-20s, I think you should be having sex.
Why?
I just feel like if you don't, you're just going to get so pent up. And you're just going to, I think that can kind of, I don't want to say be dangerous, but you know what I mean? Like, everybody's just backed up, you know, everybody gets tense, their shoulders are up, like, you know, it looks like you could poke them and they'd pop, you know what I mean? It's just, getting that weight off your chest or, you know, it's, out of your gut, I guess. But
I got to add, but women are sex dealers and men are sex addicts.
Yeah,
addicts,
absolutely.
Right? And so when they have sex out of wedlock, they're controlled by the women.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
I don't know if it's really okay. I think that's just a product of, you know, everything going on. I mean, I know Troy wasn't a real place, but I mean, like, women have so much power over men. I mean, that's
only because of the sex thing.
Yeah, just because of sex.
Two reasons that they have power over men. Mm-hmm. Because the mothers made the boys turn toward her and away from the father.
Right.
And so they resent the mother for that. And right. The moment you resent her, you become controlled by her.
Right.
And you become like what you hate, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so, like, when you go out into the world, you are attracted to what you hate. Mm-hmm. You're attracted to the same spirit that's in your mother.
Yeah.
And so you get with these women, you're having sex with them, thinking that you're getting love. When you're really getting sex and getting control.
You're filling a void,
yeah.
An empty space that you
right.
need as a
product.
Right,
and so they're controlling you.
Right.
And women are not as into sex as men,
right.
But they'll do it just to have that control
just
over
have
you.
Have the control, yeah.
Yeah. And men are not supposed to do that because they're supposed to lead the woman.
Right.
Because when they have control over you, see, there's this order of God in Christ. Christ is mm-hmm. man over woman, one over children.
Right.
So when they have control, they are redefining you, recreating you in
right.
their image.
Right.
Instead of being made in your image because the woman came from the man. Mm-hmm. So she's made in his image.
Mm-hmm.
But the men are allowing them to recreate them in their image. So you end up like a woman instead of a woman
yeah.
being like a man.
Yeah, the main reason why I hadn't been dating is because I've had resentment towards my mother and like I found that it would lead to problems in my relationships.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I'd have like tendencies, like I would react the same way that my mother would react, or
yes.
I would handle, and I just didn't like that.
Yeah,
I didn't like that to the point where I was like, okay, I have to just stop dating. But then, you know, I'm sitting there like, well, I still need to have sex. But
you became like your mother.
Yeah, and
that's
you know, they agent. My parents divorced when I was 8, and I stayed with my mother because my father left the house, right?
Right.
I still saw my father every week, and I still, the big thing with me and him keeping up was sports.
Right.
So I got to, you know, I had that. It's not like I lost my father.
Right.
We still have a great relationship.
Good, man.
But I think my saving grace was my stepfather, the man my mother married.
Yes.
They got married when I was in high school. So it was like right at the perfect time for me to have a real father figure. And they started dating when I was like 14. So, you know, around, you know, when I, you know, starting to hit puberty and everything starts going crazy, and you really just need a father figure there to just teach you how to.
Did he protect you from your mother?
Yeah.
He's protecting you from your mother?
Yeah, he does a good job kind of keeping everybody in peace.
Good, man.
You know, he's a good, he's like the cornerstone,
yeah.
you know?
I don't recommend that men and women get married who already have children.
Right.
Because the children need the love of the parent,
right?
The real love of the
right.
parent, especially the fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very selfish when parents bring other men or the man bring other women into their lives.
Right.
And it separate them from their children even more so.
Yeah. I know. So my brother on my mother's side has a lot of father issues.
Yeah.
And so his father, he was, you know, I don't know too much about him. I know that I think he's a truck driver. I think he has like emphysema. I think he's about to pass. But when him and my mother divorced, you know, he pretty much just split. And Jim, my brother, has all kinds of father issues because of that, right?
Because his father split,
because
right?
his father split and actually took off, moved down to Florida from Baltimore. And then when my father and my mother started dating, and my father never treated him like a true son.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, so Jim, you know, has all sort of issues, you know, father
when
issues.
When next time you talk to him, tell him to forgive his mother.
Yeah.
Because she was wrong for getting with another man.
Mm-hmm.
And forgive the father for leaving him
for
with
leaving
the mother.
Him, yeah.
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 Because he had that longing for the father, that emptiness that he wanted his real father.
Yeah. And last time I saw him, I remember talking to him about it, like, just like, you know, his relationship with my father. And, you know, I know that I don't have any part to play in it, right?
Like, yeah, that's right.
But still, like, it's like, you guys have to talk and just, like, have a heart-to-heart and just figure it out. Because if you don't, that's going to eat you.
When kids don't accept step parents because the soul yearned for the natural parent, not for a step parent. Right. And step parents can never fulfill that void that you have.
Right.
You really need to return to your natural father.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. I want to take some calls, and I'm totally enjoying talking to you.
Oh, yeah, this is great. I can't thank you enough for having me on.
Right on. So, Joya.
Yeah.
You met Joya, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He black.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's see. Oh, first thing is, this is from Facebook. Nick on Facebook. Jesse, today is Haley. Birthday. Haley's birthday. She's turning 14. Can you sing the birthday? Happy birthday. She loves watching your show. Haley, this song is for you. Birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday, Haley. And many, many mamma mia, hola, si, si, or more. 14 is an amazing age. So make sure you don't be angry. Drop all anger and you'll have a nice teen life. All right? I wish you well. Thanks for liking my show and watching it. I totally appreciate it. And thank you for Nick for telling me about your daughter, Haley. That's amazing. And the next one is from, what's this, Joel?
What? D-Life?
No, Chai Bird.
Oh.
On Twitter.
Chibi the Bird on Twitch says, you want me to read it?
Yeah. Chibi the Bird.
He says, you helped rebuild me into a man by showing how much of a beta Destiny was. I'm Team Jesse now. Thanks to Jesse, I stopped being a Destiny fan and left the Children of the Lie.
Right on. Amazing. D-Live.
D-Live, yep. D-Live shout out. And thanks to Done No Anger Too Nasty, I.M.Lucky, Diallo, Flochinski, C, Baconator, 14, Dark Side of the Bear, Moss Side, Army Ann, Ridge Tech, and shout out to Bubs Love for coming to the men's conference and church.
That's right.
Shout out to Bubs
Shout Love. Out, bro. Bubs Love. Amazing.
And that's we got more. We opened the treasure chest on D-Live. Congrats to Army Ann, CLC, Super Dave, Dark Side of the Bear, and Spanglish. He knew, or she knew.
Right on. Thank you all very, very mamma mia hola much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Andrew, you know that I started July as White History Month?
As White History Month? Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. So this next month, July, would be our second year of celebrating White History Month.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then August is Men History Month.
Nice.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's good.
I figure, you know, they have Black history, woman history, gay history.
Yeah, spread the credit.
Mexican history.
Yeah.
All kind of history when it's really, and whenever you mention white history, it's always in a negative way.
Right.
And if it wasn't for white people, there would be no America.
Yeah.
And so why not appreciate the folks that made it possible for you to come here, right?
Right.
So no, everybody else is afraid to do it, but I'm like, no, I'm not gonna let this happen.
You don't care, yeah.
And I do it on July because July just feel white.
Yeah, that's nice. Can I have one of those?
Yeah, you can have this one.
Oh, I can have that
one. See on the back, it says July just feel white.
White, that's nice. I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You can have that one, and so we're celebrating White History Month. Because white people are the most hated species on this side of heaven.
You think, yeah.
And it's unjustly. It's not, should not be that way.
Yeah.
Whites have been afraid to speak up for themselves. So, so now everybody hate them because people hate weakness.
Right.
And then also we have the Great White Hope.
The Great White Hope, Donald Trump.
And then the Great Black Hope.
You know, it's pretty amazing that he's actually the president.
It is. Yeah. I'm blown away, man. Yeah. I'm on cloud nine. When he won, I was cloud nine, and I've been dancing on the ceiling ever since.
Good. Yeah, hasn't he been joking about running for president for like 20 or 30 years?
Yeah,
like,
people had asked him about that.
Yeah, I remember there was like an episode of The Simpsons where they joked around about how he was going to be president, and that was like back in like the early 90s.
That's amazing.
You know? Yeah.
Well, he's an example of what all men should become.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Matt on Facebook says that my mother had my brother face. Oh, my mother had my brother's face shaved for his funeral. Man, he would have been angry. Mm-hmm. Face. Mama, a crazy face. Matt on Facebook says his brother died at 33 in Afghanistan. I'm sorry to hear that, too. That's amazing. Let me go back to Jason out of Buffalo. Jason disagreed with me about the Great White Hope. He also disagreed that abortion is worse than slavery. Jason, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
We were talking about how he says abortions are worse than slavery.
Yes.
And it's like, I still don't see how you see that.
Okay, so let me explain. Did the slave masters have the right to kill the slaves?
Did they have the right? They owned the slaves.
Did they have a right to kill the slaves?
I mean, it wasn't right. They did it, but it wasn't right. But they did it, though.
And so, does a woman have the right to kill the child in the body, as though that's her slave?
That's not her slave. That's her child. Those are two different things.
So, does she have a right to kill it?
Yeah, like if that's her decision, if it's like it depends on what she wants for her life. A lot of women end up being pregnant.
So why didn't the slave master have the right to kill the slave when he got tired of it, but a woman have the right to kill a child in her body as though she's the slave master?
The difference is the woman, like, that's the rest of the woman's life, though. It, like, that's her decision. Like, if she want to bring a child in, you know what, like, you know what it takes to bring a child in the world?
Yes.
What if she wasn't ready? What if it was the product of an incest or rape?
And so she have
like, not going to be a good father.
So the mother have a right to act as though she owned the body of another of a child, if she doesn't want it, rather than put it up for adoption or something, she has the right to kill the slave. You saying that?
Carrying a baby for not, you know, the toll it takes on the body.
So you're saying she has the right to kill it because she's tired of it, the toll of it.
No, she has the right to kill the child if she feels like that's the best interest of her.
So why didn't the slave master have a right to kill the slave if he felt that was the best interest of his? Let's say he got tired of feeding. I'm tired of feeding these people. I'm tired of housing them. I'm tired of caring about them or all that. Why didn't he just have a right to kill them then?
Why did he? Your question makes no sense. Like, those are two different things.
It made a lot of sense. He could have set them free. He could have adopted, put them over to another slave plantation or something. Why didn't he have the right to kill them if he was tired of them?
Why? Because killing a fetus and killing a person is two different things.
A fetus is a baby. It's a child.
No, it's not.
It is.
A baby is something on
the
outside.
They only changed the word to fetus.
A fetus and a baby are two different things.
No, it's not. They only changed that word.
Jason. A fetus is something that develops inside of a woman's body.
It's a baby developing, man. They only changed it to fetus.
It's not a baby.
Jason, listen. Listen, because I got to
remember. It's not a baby until it's born.
They don't want you to see it as a baby, so they changed the wording. What do you think of this?
That makes no sense.
Hold on. I'm going to let the white man help you. Hold on.
With slavery, slaves were considered property, right?
Yeah.
So the slave master did have a right to do whatever he wanted with his slaves.
Right.
It wouldn't have made any financial sense for him to kill them, you know? So I'm sure that's why. And I'm sure, you know, plenty of slaves got killed. I don't know how many of them actually were killed by, like, their slave, you know, owners.
Did he have the right to do it?
You don't know.
He technically does, right? That's their
slaves.
That's his property.
So hold on, Jason. Hold on. And so the woman think that that her body is her own,
right?
And she think that the child that's in her body doesn't have a right, any rights at all.
I don't.
And she can kill it whenever she wants.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
So
and then
saying
when you
the
have,
baby got more rights than the woman.
Yes, the baby have a right to live.
She doesn't have more rights than the woman.
And she doesn't have a right to kill it.
Stupid.
I don't think.
Stupid.
Yeah, and then what about the
no
man? Right?
You said
Jason. How about the father? It's his child. Does she have a right to just kill his child?
It's her body.
It's not her body.
Forcing women to be slaves by forcing them to have kids that they don't want to have. That's forcing a woman to be a slave.
That's a responsibility you have when you get pregnant.
Hold on. Listen to the white man, Jason. Go ahead, Jim.
When you get pregnant, that's your new responsibility. It doesn't matter what's comfortable for you or what you have to do. If you get pregnant, then every other thing in life is now second.
Thank you. You understand? I wish black men understood like this.
Yo, like, all right, let's see.
Have you noticed that the white people are smarter than the black ones?
No, I wouldn't.
Yo, there ain't no question about you.
They are.
You know, God, like, God,
you know, listen, like, this is a black male sounding like a black woman. What do you think about this? Is a black male sounding like a woman?
What I think? I don't know. I don't know if it's just
white people
not
smarter.
Knowing. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Don't you agree? White people are smarter?
No, I don't know. You're asking me some hard questions now. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to get beat up on the way to the car when I leave here. Oh. I'm trying to be smart about this.
Well, in case you don't know, white people are smart. That's why they built America.
Why they built America.
And black people tear down America. Have you noticed that whenever they move to a white area, and if the white people leave, it turns into a ghetto?
It turns into a ghetto, yeah.
I rest my case.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunately true.
Right. So if they're smart people, would it turn into a ghetto?
No. Well, I mean, like a ghetto, yeah. I guess you're right, right?
But, thank you.
But then what about, like, other ghettos, like, back in the day, like the Jewish ghettos, you know?
And they turned them around.
They turned them around, yeah.
Black people don't turn anything around.
Ghettos, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They only make it worse.
I think that it's the sense of family isn't there.
The lack of more character.
Yeah.
The men are women.
The men or the women?
The men have become the women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole father figure thing.
Yeah.
That's it's toxic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jason.
Can I ask you a question?
Real fast, and I got to run.
Yo, you said about anger and emotion. Didn't your God get angry and emotional and kill everybody?
No.
He didn't do that?
Uh-uh.
You don't remember the thing about the flood?
Yeah, but he didn't do it out of anger.
What did he do it out of?
Love.
He killed all the people out of love.
Yes.
You sure?
100%.
100%. He killed everybody out of love.
Yes.
That makes no sense, man.
I know.
I want, like,
Jason,
everybody out of love.
How old are you, Jason?
Makes no sense, dude. 31, man.
Wow, I keep thinking you're young and you sound so immature.
Who sound immature? You saying somebody killed people out of love. What kind of shit is this?
Uh-oh, you can't say that. Jason, I got to run, but call me again, all right?
All right, I'll call you again, man.
All right, buddy. Oh, God. Isn't that funny? I can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a real pain. I don't know. I feel like your job is pretty stressful.
No, it's amazing.
Nah, yeah.
Because God took away my anger. I have no anger.
Yeah.
The last 30 years, I've not had anger. Uh-huh. And life is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's just words. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's why you don't have any anger, right? Mm. You over anger completely.
Yeah.
Don't speak up, but don't be angry.
Right.
And then give sex a try by not having sex.
Yeah.
Wait until marriage. See what happens.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'll try. I'll
do my silent prayer.
So that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because I wanted to talk to you yesterday during the service.
Right.
But I felt like I knew so little about everything that I didn't want to waste everybody's time.
You would not have been wasting anybody's
time. I need to look up the silent prayer thing and, you know, figure that out.
Yeah.
But
it's silentprayer.video.
Okay.
And what it is, when we are traumatized,
uh-huh.
we escape into the imagination right. to try to survive,
to
right?
Try to hide and protect yourself.
Yes. But the imagination is our enemy.
Right.
There's no such thing as true thoughts.
Right.
But when we become of age, then we have to repent of that anger by forgiving our parents and whomever traumatized
right.
us. And then God will bring you out of the imagination.
Right.
Because every thought is a lie.
So what is that? Does that change, or did that change the way you view free will?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because there is no such thing as
there is no such thing as free will.
Right.
Based off
you're either controlled by evil
right.
or controlled by good.
Uh-huh.
Once you're born again,
right.
you're controlled by good.
By good, right.
But anyone who has anger is controlled by evil.
By evil, yeah.
Yeah. And so the silent prayer will slow you down so God can separate you from your imagination.
Do you believe in destiny? Is that completely off?
Well, he was weak.
Thinking of
he's weak. Dude. I think hopefully he'll get strong.
No, destiny, like destiny, like predetermined life, right?
Oh,
like everybody, who's destiny? I don't even know what you. What was that?
I thought you meant the destiny guy that was on the stage doing the panel discussion.
Oh yeah, so
the little weak liberal guy.
Oh, the
his name is Destiny.
Oh, the incel?
Well, that was the incel guy too, but Destiny was closer to where I was standing.
Okay.
Yeah. But his name is Destiny. His name is Stephen Bonnell, I think.
Yeah.
But his I guess his show name is website name is Destiny or something.
Right.
But he's very weak.
Okay.
As far as Destiny, the one thing I am convinced of is that everything we need to know is inside of us.
Yeah.
Life is there.
Right.
And that God already has it laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you overcome the fallen state, return to him, your life just happens.
Yeah.
He draws you back unto him, and then you just live. You just be.
Yeah.
And life is as his son, life is already laid out.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea of free will, but I don't know.
It doesn't exist.
The older I get, the more, because like, I swear, I have deja vu. I've had deja vu of like years ahead, and I've ended up in a situation where it's like, you know, there's no way you could have guessed this.
Yes.
You could have rolled, you know, 1,000. There's just no way. You know what I mean? Like,
so you believe in free will?
I don't know. I mean, I guess so. I do. I believe in free will. But I think that it's easy to be manipulated into different things like that, like what you're speaking of on sin. Stuff like that.
Satan wants you to believe you have free will, so he wants you to think you're God and you can make your life be whatever you want to be. And he'll destroy you with that.
Right.
Because if we have free will, then we would never be in a fallen state, number one.
Mm-hmm.
We would never be angry, number two. And our life, we would make our own life perfect. No one would want to make their lives unhappy and lonely and sitting in a room all day masturbating.
Yeah. That's pretty bad, huh? Yeah, I was playing, have you ever heard of PUBG?
No.
Oh, my.
Oh, wait a minute. It's a what?
It's this game, PUBG. You've heard of Fortnite, right?
No.
Okay, well, it's pretty much like a battle royale. So you're in an airplane, you jump out, you have a parachute, and you land with buddies, and you know, it's like being in the army, right? And like you're the last team to survive, gets a chicken dinner. It goes winner, winner, chicken dinner. And I would play this game with my friends. I'd play with like these four guys, Sweatman, Big Benny, and I would play that for like 8 hours a day.
Amazing.
Because I had nothing else. It was just like,
well, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm totally out of time. They're like 20 seconds, 10 seconds. Thank you for coming on.
Of course.
And thank you all for tuning in, folks, and calling in. I'll be back tomorrow if the Lord is willing. Bye. While we stand up and get back to the way we were designed to be.
Get on the track one time. Joel Friday here. Look, stand up, stand up. We got fighting to do. We gotta show 'em who boss. He put a Viking in you. He put that lightning in you, igniting the truth.